forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello and welcome to Work Stew. It's August 28th, 2012, and this is episode number 44. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Work Stew, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I talk to Cirque du Soleil artist Jonathan Morin. So I am speaking today to Jonathan Morin, who is a performer and many other things, an athlete, an artist with Cirque du Soleil at the moment, but does many, many things. And Jonathan, let me start by first thanking you for fitting this interview into your busy schedule.
No problem. It's a pleasure. Actually, it's a very interesting project you have. So it was, when you wrote me, it was a pleasure to accept your invitation.
Well, let's start with where you are now. I believe you're in Atlantic City. And what will you be performing tonight?
Well, actually, today we are off, and we have Mondays and Tuesdays off. And we perform Wednesday to Sunday. So I perform in a show called Drallion at the moment. So we just arrived in Atlantic City yesterday evening. I joined Drallion like a year ago, and with an apparatus called the Crossed Wheel, which I created myself basically 7 years ago. So all through the process of creating it, and from the apparatus from scratch to the choreography, and training every day on it, finding new vocabulary to go on it, and it basically rolls. I can do like a million tricks with it, and it's let's imagine it with a ring, let's say the equator and the meridian of the Earth. So it gives like a bit of an atom looking like a apparatus. So it's very difficult to describe on the phone like this, but it's certainly a very unique apparatus in the world. So it's a pleasure for me to be part of a Cirque du Soleil show with something I created from scratch.
Right. And so let's talk about the path that leads to that kind of work. How did you start out? What was your first job?
Well, I started gymnastics when I was 7 years old, and it became such a passion that I've pursued it until the age of 20. Unfortunately, my main goal of joining and reaching the Olympics never occurred. So I was aiming for the Olympic of 2000, and in 98 I stopped doing gymnastics. I was 10th in Canada, but my body was refusing to keep on going. So because I'm from Montreal in Canada, I Cirque du Soleil is based in Montreal as well. So, I mean, I knew the scouters there back then. There was two scouters in 98. So I basically talked to them and asked them, what would be the thing I should do to join Cirque? It's like, oh, well, you can send a videotape. So we have an audition in June, and I was just stopping gymnastics 2 weeks before the actual audition. So I applied. They kept my, they kept me on a list, maybe they kept 15 out of this audition. And 2 months later, they called me to join a show called Kidam. So I suddenly was doing a suspended rope, which you climb on it and everything. So I did that for 4 years. So I went straight from gymnastics to Cirque du Soleil. It was very quick as a transition.
Now, was that unusual? When you think back to your fellow gymnasts when you were a child and a teenager, were many of them able to go on into something where they were continuing to use those skills, or did a lot of them just have to make a complete change?
I would say it's half and half. I think in my generation, the gymnast that was training with me, there's maybe half that joined Cirque or did some kind of a career in the circus industry. I think it became a bit of a, not a fashion, but there was a peak there, with Cirque du Soleil growing quite fast during these years. So, and some others, they went to, how do you call this, computers and whatnot. So they really went to a total different ways, but certainly doing circus was a fantastic continuation after gymnastics, as gymnastics was were pretty poor back then, and then suddenly circus were going to be paid to train, which was quite unusual at that time, so it became fantastic.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask was I have seen a Cirque du Soleil performance, and it was completely magical to watch. And yes. What does it feel like to be in it? Does it feel magical, or does it feel like a day at work for you?
I guess I'll speak personally, but I'm a passionate person in the first place. So performing, it's more than doing tricks in front of the audience. And if there wouldn't be the soul, like for me, the difference between an athlete and an artist is it's basically the emotions. An athlete, you can just do your performance technically, and that's it, you know, like a sport and whatnot. So coming from gymnastics, was very much athlete. But coming to perform on a stage, it's a lifelong journey to project emotion to the audience that paid to come and see you and want to feel things. And so for me, it isn't, technically it is my job, because I do that permanently, it's full-time and everything. But it's delivering the emotion feeds me greatly. So it's another passion of mine suddenly, there was gymnastics, now it's circus, but it's delivering the emotion to the public feeds me as well, you know. It's like an exchange during the act. You're doing something, you're trying to project the best of yourself, to improve your act every show, to throw out this story you want to tell. And in my case, my story and my will is basically my journey with it, because there were so many obstacles. Creating something was something very challenging, and it took me many, many years before I actually presented it for the first time. So I tell my story, and I tell it in a passionate way. So by delivering this, you feel the audience reacting to your along your story, and then it's almost a drug. You want to continue that night after night, and it's becoming something that you almost need it. So
now, is there, having heard that explanation, it's almost hard to ask this question, but is there any downside to the work? For example, is the lifestyle of the travel and the hotels, does that get at all tiresome, or is that okay for you?
Right now, we could say there is a few little downsides, but on the scale, you know, the positive win. But let's say, the traveling every week, it's literally every week we travel, so that's a bit sometimes, it can be long. Sometimes we don't do cities nearby. Sometimes it's like a 6-hour bus ride we have to do in between, so that's a bit long. And packing your things every week, it's somewhat of a hectic way of living, for sure. And also, people don't know that, but doing many, many, many shows like that, your body sometimes want a little bit of a rest, but yet you have two shows that night, you know. So it's sometimes we perform on not necessarily injuries, but pain here and there, and so that's why I for myself, I'm big on health. I take care of myself like crazy, nutrition, conditioning, very proper conditioning. I've learned to be very sensitive with my body all through these years. It's been 27 years I'm training, so it's a way of life, really. So, but it's a never-ending story to improve, you know. So,
and how long can one continue to perform at the level that you're performing? Is this something you envision doing for many, many years?
It's funny, because when I started at 21 years old, I was, I'll just do it a few years, but then I cannot do a career in that, and I'll have to go back to school and everything, because I had put a bit of a hold on school to join maybe the Olympics or to reach the Olympics. And suddenly here I am, it's been 14 years I'm doing it, and to answer the question, it's very a case-by-case scenario, because sometimes I know I have friends that have, at 25 years old, they had to stop because they had an hernia in their spine and everything, so a disc hernia or something like that. So the career stopped right there. Or else I have another friend of mine that is now in his 50s and he's still doing it. So it is, very much it has to do with which kind of discipline you're doing. So some disciplines are more rough for the body than others, like more tough, the articulation and whatnot. And so also how you take care of your body. Some artists, unfortunately, they don't really warm up properly. They don't even warm up at all. So for me, warming up is a must. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here talking to you, and I would probably not be in this field anymore. And then nutrition is a biggie. It's you need to take care of your, you know, the intake of food you do, because it's certainly a big key on health. And you know, just being very close to your body and listening very properly, and this is it's one of many keys to keep on going for a very long time. So to answer the question, it's very hard to answer in to throw an average of age. It depends on each individual.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Jonathan Morin. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.